So here's what I'm going to tell you. I remember a number of years back, Melissa's grandmother was in the hospital. She was like 112 at the time, and she was getting ready to have heart surgery. And I remember that they had the surgery, and we got there the next morning, and I went in, and I'm talking to her, and she goes, "Tub," because that's how she talked to me. She goes, "Tub," and she pulled me close, and she says, "Listen," she says, "I knew I was going to be okay today." And I'm going to be honest with you. So this is an old lady just coming out of surgery. She's got the drugs and everything. I'm like, I want to hear what she's going to say about how she knew she was going to be okay. And here's what she said. She says, "I told the Lord, either you heal me or you take me home." And she said, "So either way, I knew I was going to be fine today. Either way, I knew it was going to work out." And I look at it, I go, that's a brave prayer. Because in all honesty, how many of us would pray that boldly? It's either, "God, you heal me, you take me home." One of those things have to happen inside of this. And how many of us, in all honesty, we're more of, "God, just heal me. Just heal me. I want to go back. I got life." And she's like, "No, either way, I'm going to be fine." And I look, I go, that's a level of faith that we should all have, in all honesty, that we trust that no matter what, whatever God's will is, we're probably going to be okay inside of this. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. We got here and it was explained to me that a bunch of people are over at another event. Okay, I think what the truth of that is those people found out I was going to be here tonight, and so they went to another event, in all honesty. So here's what, no, Tub, not, that's not it. None of y'all said that, not even you, all right? So there was nothing about, no, that's not it. So here's where we're going to be. Oh, I get used to point. See, at our church, I point at the TV. I'll be like, "Hey, here's where we're going to be. We're going to be at John 21 is where we're going to be." Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. So I wrote this message this afternoon in about an hour. Now, I say this for a reason. If it goes well, praise be to God. If it fails miserably, it's Preacher Bill's fault. All right. So that's how this is going down. All right. So because he's the one to put all this in place. But I believe, you ever have those times where you're like, God is speaking. Like God has something that has to be said and you better follow it. Because if God is telling you to do something and you don't, now you're the disobedient one. So sometimes God's going to call you to do the things you don't necessarily want to do. So here we go. So go ahead. Now we're used to, we know what we're going to do. At our church, we stand up as we read the word. If you can get up, stand up. If not, just do what you got to do real quick. So we're going to be John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. We'll get there. Lord, let us be thankful for this very thing that we often take for granted. The God, that you have called us together as believers to be your church. So Lord, I pray that we would take that calling serious. That God, that it would be a burden unto us. That we would appreciate everything that you put into place. That this place here, Lord, that this building and in this time would be for your glory. So God, I pray it's not about any of us, that there's no ego and no pride, but God, it's just how do we come together and worship you? So God, I pray that right now that you would check our hearts. That God, anything that would be a distraction, any hindrance that is there, God, remove it. That we could hear your word for the way that you intended it. And for God, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to accept whatever it is, that we would be drawn closer to you for your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's the thing. So Jesus called these 12 men, and they were called like specifically by Jesus. Like he went and said, "Hey, you and you and you and you and you," all of those type of things. And he called them specifically. And in that time of Jesus calling them, they spent time with him. They knew him. Like they knew who Jesus was. Not in this way that we know who Jesus is, but in the fact that they walked with him and they spent time with him and they witnessed his miracles inside of all the things they'd done. From the deaf that started hearing to the blind that started seeing to the lame started walking and even the dead back to life again. And they walked with him and they saw all of these things and they had meals with him. Now, guys, we have to stop and think about that. So when we hear about how Jesus ate with people, we kind of go, Jesus ate with people. We do that every day after church. What do we care? It's no big deal inside of that. Listen, this wasn't him going to Longhorn and having lunch. Okay, what this was back then, a meal was intimate. It was personal. And so when you explain to people, the tables were usually about this high off the ground. They weren't sitting upright. They would lay out. And y'all know, listen, you start laying down with somebody, that's pretty personal. I want to make that very clear. So inside of this, they're laid out and they're spending this time with him. And then the one that always gets me, they slept next to him. Can you imagine waking up in the middle of the night and happen to look over and Jesus is laying there? Like, you look at that and you go, oh my goodness. And this is what these guys did. Now, what they had done at this point right here, they'd seen him wrongfully charged of crimes. They've seen him illegally beaten. They've seen him sentenced to death. They've seen him hang on a cross. They saw him buried. They saw him raised again. That he gave the hope to everybody. Imagine seeing that in your life. Somebody who's near and dear to you, that they then take him and beat him and crucify him. And then everything about you is like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And then inside of that, he decides, hey, that don't stop me. Come on. Hey, you can put me in any grave you want. It's temporary. And so at that point right there, he rides. Guys, that is the bulk. That's the reason we have here. If we don't have a resurrection, we have nothing. We have no hope without that resurrection. And we mention the resurrection at churches. We go, I'm like, no, you got to understand. So imagine for these guys here that he chose and they're walking with him and they've seen all this. And then now at this point, they come to where they've seen him after his resurrection. Like, whoa, I'm going to be freaked out. Okay, listen, dude, you're supposed to be dead. You're not strolling into my house at this point right here. And inside, they do this. And so he's appeared to them. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't even understand what that would be like. Can you imagine the resurrected Savior come walking into your house? What y'all doing? Something along those lines. And I look at it and I go, man. And then what do they do? What do they do aside of all this excitement of all the things that they've seen and the fact that he resurrected again? What do these guys go out and do in all their excitement? They go fishing. They went fishing. And you look and you go, wait. And I look, I go, but it's not just fishing. See, fishing for them was comfort. Fishing for them was them going back to a life that they knew and a life that they understood, a life that was easier for them, something they could get into and be okay with. It was their comfort zone, if you will. See, in times of uncertainty, they went to what they know. And how many times in our life when things go in different directions that we ain't ready for, what do? We slip back into our comfort zone. We go do the very things that give us peace, even if they're not the right things. And so at this point right there, what they did is they went to seek comfort. Because guys, when things start going sideways, people seek comfort. And if they're anything like me, don't they seek routine? Oh, routine. I don't know if y'all, listen, I can appreciate a good routine. Our grandson, man, he's coming up in a routine. Sometimes I just look at that boy and go, oh man, he gets it. Listen, how many of you are routine? Like, I'm like routine, like, oh, okay, so only our church is routine. Okay, Acts 2 is routine. Oh, there we go. Okay, so inside of, listen, when this is all done, we're having a big face-off between the two churches. We're going to wrestle this thing out, okay? Now inside, we may be low in numbers, but we got some size. We got size on our side, so we're going. So here's what happens. So like, I have this level of routine. Like, my wife can always tell you, like, she can always tell you, especially on Sunday mornings, because that's when we're kind of getting together at the same time. And she can always tell you how far we are from leaving the house by where I am in my routine. Because routine is comfort for me. That if I can get back into the way that I do things, I feel more at peace. And so many people, that's what's happening for them. That's what this was. Their routine was this level of normalcy inside of their life. And then here's what else routines do. They give us a level of control. When I have a routine, I control my schedule. I control how things are going to go. I make things happen the way that I want them to happen. And then when things get outside of that, man, I might get a little bit of a mood. No. I don't want the... Listen, that was... I'm going to take it. It's fake, but I'll take it. So here's what happens. inside of this, Peter, actually, if you notice, it says Simon Peter. And guys, understand that every time inside the word, when it's not just Peter and it's Simon Peter, that's usually tagged along with, he done something stupid. That's usually when you hear Simon Peter specifically. He done something stupid inside of this. And this is how it gets put out there. So now it's put out there. And then it's the, whenever he's doing it wrong. So Jesus's boy, Peter is Jesus's boy. And he slipped back into comfort. The one who was so tight with the Savior found it very easy to just go back into life as he knows it. The one that would easily and arguably be the one closest to him, he goes back into comfort. And what's worse, he took six other people with him. See, he didn't fall back in alone. He brought people with him. And so many times when people are backsliding and people are getting away from God, what do they tend to do? Drag people with them. Anytime you're about to go do something stupid, you drag people with you. I tell people in our church, if you're fixing to go do something stupid on Friday night, don't call church people. Call somebody else. Don't drag our people into the mix. And that right there is exactly what Peter did. He dragged other people into it. So now it's not just Peter falling back. Seven of them falling back. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I believe that this is way more than just finding comfort. I don't think this is just simply them trying to get inside their routine. Especially when you realize they went out and they fell back into their routine and it wasn't what God wanted for them and they failed miserably. See, so many times God is telling us to do something. And if we don't do it, don't be surprised when it fails. See, here's what's happening. This was them trying to figure out, how do we handle times of transition? How do we handle something when things are changing in front of us? We don't have control over it. We just have to kind of deal with it. And they were trying to figure out, what does moving forward look like? Now, as we're sitting here and we have all of this going on and we have this change going on, what does it look like on the backside of this change? How do we deal with it? See, it was clear, though, the same old thing was not the will of God. In times of transition, God is telling you, you know what? It may not be just fall back into your comfort. It may be times of change are for change, that things can be different inside of it. Because here's what I figured out, and this week you realize, you read that and you realize God had far bigger plans for them. God had far more things than, yeah, you guys just go back fishing and best of luck to you. God said, hey, if you'll get focused, I got some things for you. But you got to get focused again. You got to get outside of that comfort zone that put you in there and get out and get moving. But here's the thing. They just couldn't see that for themselves at that time. They couldn't see that this time of transition was a time of opportunity. All they saw was, is this is a time of difficulty, a time of problems, a time of unknown. Here's what I say. All the time in our church, God reveals things to you one step at a time. Like God will show, because let me just tell you something. I say this, if God showed you the end, it would freak you out. Like if God showed me what he had for me down the road, even a number of years ago, I'd be like, I ain't doing it because it's too big and it's too daunting. So you know what God does? God shows us one step at a time. Do this one. Once you get to that one, you do the next one. And then you keep in this walk with God until all of a sudden you get to that end thing and it doesn't seem so daunting. I mention often to our group, I say, you know what? To me, that's Noah. I believe that Noah kept doing things for God, kept doing things for God. That's why he was considered righteous among the time. He kept doing these God things. And so when God came to us, hey, build an ark for rain that doesn't exist out in the middle of nowhere, he goes, all right. Because what he has done, he's walked with God in such a way that that daunting thing didn't seem so daunting. So what he was doing is inside, they're looking at us, they're going, okay, if God's showing me one step at a time, the only thing God is seeking during that in his one step at a time, the only thing God is looking for is obedience. All he wants is for his people to step where he says to step, to go where he says to go. He doesn't look around and say, hey, what do you think? God's not often in the business of trying to check our opinions on things. God tends to know what's going on inside of things. And so here's what he's saying. You just keep doing the work and you just keep moving forward. In times of transition, when things you're unsure, you take one step with God. And as God reveals the next thing, you do the next thing for God and you stay obedient. See, sometimes here's what happens. We get so caught up in our own things that we don't recognize that God is working during transition. That as things are changing, God didn't stop working. God didn't check out in times of change. God is still very much involved. John 21:4, it says, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They got so caught into their own ways, they couldn't even recognize the Savior anymore. They got so used to what they were doing. They're in their comfort in times of transition. They didn't even recognize who Jesus was. And how many times life has brought us into places where we probably wouldn't recognize him if he was sitting right in front of us. Because we've gotten so caught up in ourselves and our plans and how we want to do things. See, here's what was happening. They were more concerned with their own will. See, during this time of transition, shouldn't be that hard to say. During this time of transition, as God was moving, they were too focused on their own will. What they wanted to happen, what they wanted to see the outcome to be. They fell into their own beliefs because here's what happens. I believe what I want to believe, and that's easier. Believing what I want to believe is easier than somebody challenging me, than somebody calling me to something I don't want to do. How many times somebody came, you ever had those people say, I got a word for you, and you're like, I don't want to hear it. No, listen, I don't want nothing. I don't want God. How many times I think we go into church and we don't want to hear a biblical message? Because a biblical message might challenge us. A biblical message might cause us to have to go do something instead of just being comfortable sitting in our pews. So many times we come into church, we don't want to be challenged. Hey, keep it safe, would you? What is it? 3 points in a poem, right? Give me 3 points in a poem and get me up out of this joint. It's time to go. And inside us, that's what happens. We fall into our own beliefs because it's easier. But here's what I'm going to tell you. It's during times of transitions where we need to lean into Jesus more. We don't turn away from him. We draw into him more because we don't understand. We don't know what's going on. So here's what happens. They would finally recognize and they finally understood who Jesus was and then he helped them catch some fish and then they ate and they did all the things and then they got their focus back again. Once they realized, hey, wait a minute, this is Jesus moving. This is Jesus making stuff happen. This time of change is God moving. And inside of that, here's what we can do. We get our focus back again. And then right when you get to that point, that's when you get to the famous, do you love me? And remember, it comes to the point where Peter's like, dude, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He goes, dude, yes, I love you. Knock it off, basically. It says Peter came to the point where he's of aggravation with it. Like, yes, all right, I do. And all that really is Jesus going, probably better than that. Jesus is like, hey, Peter, pay attention. Peter, I'm about to tell you some things. We're about to get to work here. Get focused. And here's what he's saying. Peter, are you ready to fulfill my will? Are you ready to do what I want you to do? And then how many times did Jesus have to ask us that same thing before we finally got the answer right? How many times would God have to ask us, hey, are you willing to do my will? Are you willing to do what I want for you, not just what you want to do, not your comfort? So he finally gets it to the point, he's, all right, because here's what you have to do. During times of transition, you have to seek God's will. Now, let me be very clear, okay? In case we're not understanding what's going on, your church is in a time of transition. I don't want anybody sitting here going, I don't know who this message is for. Listen, we're good. Our church is good. We're moving along. You guys are in a time of transition. And this is a time when I want all of us to sit here and understand, hey, wait a minute, who Tub is talking to? Me. If this is your church, you got no pass in this message. So he comes to this point where we go, you know what? Why don't we seek God's will during this time? See, in order to seek God's will, you know what that usually means? You got to put some ego aside. You got to be willing to go, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not about me. See, what you might have to do is you might have to put your own desires aside. You may have to look at it and go, whoa. All right, you know what? If I'm making transition about me, you've lost the focus already. Transition, and in time like this, the point is Jesus. What does Jesus want? What does he want for you? And you got to put the ego aside, because here's what I found. God is not often worried about your desires. God does a lot of things I don't want him to do for me. God doesn't check with me before moving in my life, because he knows me. And I'm going, nah, dude, I'm good. I'm all right. And so inside this, here's what he's saying. Put your ego aside. See, here's what you have to remember, especially during times of transition with putting aside your ego. You have to remember that you serve God. During this whole process that you guys are fixing to go through, you serve God. If you make it about a man, you have already failed. You search God aside. Here's what, hey, check this one. You serve people. In here, how many times has God called you to serve people as service to him? And how many of us go, I don't want to do that. I've seen people. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus changed every bit of those for these men. He's saying your focus has to be right. And sometimes the needs of others come first. I want to try this one more time. Especially in times of transition, the needs of others come first. Because here's what's going to happen. How many of you have been through a church transition before? You probably been through it. And you're like, oh, this is how it goes. This is what we do. We're going to be okay. We're going to make it through. But there are going to be people who don't understand that. There are going to be people who get nervous inside us and they're like, I'm leaving. No, you're not leaving. You're where God put you to be. But what God says, you serve me inside of that place. You keep your focus right. Because it's not about him. It's about this building and what God is going to do inside of this building. And God is saying, here's what you're going to have to do. It's about other people. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. See, here's what you have to understand. Peter wasn't going through this time of transition alone. He was going through it with his boys. They were all there. Which what was happening is, hey, guess what? Peter's like, hey, if we're going to go through this, I got to look out for all of you. I can't just look at, it can't be Peter can't stand there. Hey, let's look up for Peter. Let's get what Peter wants. Peter wants to take over. How do we serve each other? How do I help the other people around me? Because guess what? Those people are going through it also. And so when you look at it and you go, wait a minute. There has to come a point where everybody in here has to go, I'm looking out for the benefit of the whole. I'm looking at the benefit of the church, not a person. I'm looking at the benefit of what God can do inside of here. That does not mean that you get to come with your own agenda. Let me try this one more time for a church in transition. You don't get to come with your own agenda. You don't get to come in, because here's what I found. Just being the loudest doesn't make you the rightest. Some people think, well, I'm loud, so I must be right. No, you're just loud. You just like to be wrong and loud. See, because here's what happens. They start looking, they say, I'm gonna try to get my way. And then here's what happens. During times like this, man, people get selfish. They start realizing, hey, I'm not here about the people. I'm here to jockey my own position to get my own things done. And they see it as an opportunity to get their own will inside of what's happening. Here's what I'm going to tell you. These are the times where you seek what God wants. Because you know what? God may not want the loudest person in your church. God may not want the one that you think is the one. God moves. God does things. You know what it looks like during this time? Extra prayer. Amen. A church in prayer. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I've heard some stories about churches that will go 2 years without a pastor. And that is, I'm telling you right now, that's amazing. I tell people all the time, I said, that's the power of the church. When the church comes together with a focus, they say, hey, we're going to take our time here. And we're going to take the one that God says is our guy. And until then, we're just going to stay obedient. We're going to be the church. We're going to help. We're going to keep serving each other. And ultimately, they're going to say, they're going to get through this. And we're going to spend time just talking to God. And when I say this, it's not, hey, God, here are my plans. Bless them. How many times do we go before God? We lay out all of our petition before God. We're like, okay, God, you know what I want to do. Make it happen. Because so many times that's how we end up going to prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the hardest thing to end prayer with is if God, if it's your will. Can you imagine? We are called to lay our petitions out before the Lord. There is nothing wrong with a church coming together saying, hey, God, is this our next leader? There's nothing wrong with that. But inside of that, you also have to be willing for God to go, no. No, that's not your next leader. No, that's not what's happening inside of here. I got a plan for you. So what you have to be willing to do is you can lay out, God, we want to know, and we want to do all these things. And then you end that prayer with, God, if it's your will. I hate that idea. I hate the idea I could spend an hour laying out to God exactly what I want, and then I still, at the end of that prayer, God, defer to God's will. It's not what I want to do. I want to make things happen. God, what is your will? You have to understand something else. Oh, God is not concerned with your timing. How many of us have learned that in life the hard way? God is... I tell people all the time, once I have a peace about it, it's time to get moving. And you know what's hard inside of that? When God goes, oh, you can have a peace all you want, to, but shut up and sit down. Dang. I don't want to wait. Because if you stop and you think about it, Peter and them all got their focus right. They got this new attitude and they're ready to get to work. They're finally going, hey, we got it. We're going to go. We're going to make things happen. And he's all excited. Hey, guys, we got our direction. Let's go make things happen. And then at that point right there, they're like, hey, Jesus, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he goes, chill for a second. That's not exactly how this is fixing to play out. In fact, what does he does? He says, not only says chill, he says, hey, remember we talked about this a little bit earlier today in our church. He goes, hey, go to Jerusalem and chill. That's what it says in the ESV. Okay, so inside of it, he goes, hey, go to Jerusalem and wait. No, you just told me, hey, we're ready. I'm excited. Let's get things done. He goes, yes, go and wait. Because God just might have a will. God just might have a plan. And you just might not know it yet. See, here's what happens. People get involved in that and they start forcing things to happen. They start making things that God is not trying to move in. How many times in our own life do we try to force our will into God's plan? And how many times do we go, that failed miserably? See, so many times, and this is what's happening, is God is saying, hey, just wait. Here's what I say all the time. God's will be done. God's will be done. Now, listen, can it be delayed by people? Yes. I believe people get in the way of God's plan and jack it up because we have our own desires, our own will, the old things that we want to do. And the God's plan will be done. I often say it like this, that God has a point. We all have a point where we serve God to it right here. I'll do this for God and then I'm done. But God goes, I need so much more than that. So you know what God does? God says, fine. All right, never mind you. I'll go find this one who will do my will. So God's will be done. It's going to happen. Even if it's not going the way you wanted it to go. Because here's what I found, that God doesn't work in our time frame. How many times back in life when we were young, remember being young and you had something, you knew you had to have it. How many women, hey women, better get ready just in case. How many times did you say, I want this boy? This is the one for me. This is the guy I want. And you chased him around and you did all those things. And God goes, this isn't the one. And you got mad. This is the one, God. I'm telling you, this is the one. And then later on in life, you find out he gets arrested. He spends a year in jail. He turns into a raging alcoholic. You're like, whoo. All right, God, not the one. And you look at it and go, man, how many times have we had to go back? Thank you, God, for not giving me what I wanted in that moment. Because how many times what we wanted in that moment would not have played out well? Almost like God knew. Almost like God said, no, you might want to. I'll give you an example. I thought the Wagers were going to be here. I thought she said they were coming. Okay, so we had this lady in our church, Miss Gale. Okay, now we all go, okay, Miss Gale. Now here's what she said to us. She told us this for years now. A number of years ago, she was retiring. And she was kind of forced to retire. And she's like, I don't really want to. I don't like it. But she did it anyway because there's no other option for her. And was it a month later? A month later, everybody in her area got fired. She was able to get out with a severance plan. She got retirement. And she's able to look back on that. And she'll go, I'll tell you right now, if I had gotten what I wanted then, it would have not have played out well. God knew. We have to be willing to let God work in his timing to what he wants for you. Here's what I'm going to tell you this. You simply have to trust the process. Let me try one more time because you're about to go through church stuff. Trust the process. Now, Preacher Bill, hey, sir, how many conversations have we had? A few weekly for quite some time now. Every now and then he listens to me. Other times he smacks me around and tells me I'm not getting it. See, here's the thing. The disciples did not know how this was going to play out. They didn't know. They're making assumptions at the time, trying to figure out. And here's what they did. They did as they were instructed to do. They waited in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost came. The Spirit fell on them. Peter unleashes a legit sermon out there. Like Peter lets it fly on him. And then the church is born. And then they would move forward. They did the work of God. And then they would do amazing things themselves. It was no longer just what Jesus did, but now what they were able to do because they had the Spirit inside of them, that they would heal people, that they would grow the kingdom, that they would start the church. And the only reason we have what we have today day is because some obedient men trusted the process. You're only sitting here today because these men a couple thousand years ago said, we're going to wait and see what God is doing. We'll see how it plays out. That we trust that he knows what he's doing. See, there is nothing happening in any of this that God goes, hey, wait a minute, how'd that happen? God is not surprised by any of this. Now, I was a little surprised. We had talked, and then out of nowhere, you're like, oh, yeah, I resigned. I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down. What are you talking about? And in fact, at that point, I think in the phone call, I said, what are you talking about, old man? What are you talking about? And inside, it's like, we may have all sat here going, wait, what? God goes, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew exactly what was going down. God was not surprised about any of this. God is not taken back on the throne about what's happening inside of this church right now. He's fully aware of it. But you know what he's doing? God is going to work through every bit of it. And you know what he needs? Willing people. He just needs a church full of willing people. People who say, God, if you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. People that don't fall off into the wrong things because of times of uncertainty. You're about to go through things you don't know, you don't understand. Even if you've been through this stuff before, all things are different sometimes. How many times you made the best of plans and God just laughed at you really, really hard? And so what you got to do is you got to stay focused. Because in all honesty, who could have known? They could have never seen what was fixing to come at them. These disciples could have never imagined what was about to happen. See, they thought that their time of transition was going to ruin everything. Well, Jesus has gone off and done other things. I don't even know what's going on. Everything's going to fall apart now. And they went back to their own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Y'all know it. You've been around church long enough. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Don't rely on you. Rely on God. Rely on what God is doing through all of this. See, we're all here because some disciples got their focus. They pushed their own agendas aside. They trusted God's timing and they went through the process. And I look and I go, that is no different for us today. It may be tough to imagine the plan that God has right now. It may be hard to catch the vision and see what's going on. And you look at it and you go, I don't get it. And it can be hard to see God in all of this sometimes. Because let's be very clear. People have a way of taking what God made clear and muddying it up pretty good. So it might be hard to see God in all of this, but know this, it need not be daunting. It can be done. Like I look at it and I go, everything that you guys are about to face can be overcome. Guys, there is nothing that's going to happen in this process that God can't handle. Now, we may jack it all up and we may be nervous, but just lean on God. He'll probably get you through it okay. And so you look at it, you go, wait a minute, God can get us through. In fact, here's what I'm going to tell you. It may be kind of hard to understand that in this process because you can't see everything that God has planned. But you know what? Just maybe, Rolling Hills' best days have not happened yet. That just maybe, because you don't know what's fixing to happen on the other side of things. You don't know who's fixing to come here. You don't know what changes God is about to do. So insights, here's what I would tell you. It can be overcome. Daunting situations can be overcome. Stay focused. Can you imagine if you start going through this process and you put all the ego aside, you put all the pride aside, and you stop trying to force things in and you rely on God's timing and you follow the process, that God just might do something amazing? But you got to be willing to do your part of that. And the simple answer for your part during this process is stay obedient. Do as the Lord is calling you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Those disciples could never imagine what they would do, what they had going on. They couldn't understand it, and they went back to fishing. And I look at it, and I go, need not be different today. We can go back and we can get in this time and we can sit back and go, who knows what God is going to do? None of you do. Nobody in this room knows what God is fixing to do in this place. So you know the best thing that you can do? Shut up and listen. And allow God to be God and let God figure out what happens inside of his house. Let God reign over his house. Let God have control in his house. Let God's name be proclaimed in his house because it is his house. You simply have it on loan. It always belongs to him. And as long as we keep that focus, who knows what's fixing to happen? So, there we go. See, our people know the so, okay? Inside of this. So Elma McClurdy, no, I can't. I got a real so. All right. So I don't have a picture because I got no access. Here's what I got. Charles Carroll, no relation, okay? Inside of this, okay? Same age. No, never mind. You'll find out when we get there. So Charles Carroll, he was quite known inside the state of Maryland. He had a bunch of things going on. He kind of made some moves. He was born into a wealthy family, so it was very easy for him to kind of know the right people and to make things happen. In fact, inside of all of that, he was still very much known for his faith and his walk with God, and it was known throughout all the people around. And so inside, he kind of moved in all the things. He was better known as the guy who was very anti-British rule. And so what he did was he spent a lot of time pushing back against British rule. In fact, many times he pushed back heavily. See, at the age of 37, he was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Now, if you sign the Declaration of Independence, you're going to kind of be known. That's a pretty big deal. Let's be very clear about this, okay? Same age. No relation. So inside of this, if you sign the death, like you look at it, you go, that's a pretty big deal. And then here's what would happen. After that, he would live his life in Maryland politics. Not really well known for much of anything. He just kind of kept going through life, doing what life does, stuff along those lines. And then you'd think that'd be enough. You had a good life. You signed the Declaration of Independence. At the age of 91, he became the founder of the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. In fact, it says that what he did, that because he was the first one to go out there and turn over dirt to start that railroad. See, this was the very first railroad inside of the United States. So not only in that time was it a big deal, like, hey, this old dude did some work. He's making the railroad. Who knew? Nobody knew what that railroad was going to do. Nobody could understand how much that railroad would change the country. He didn't even know. He just did what he was supposed to do. And in doing what he was supposed to do, he changed the direction of the country. See, sometimes we do things for what's in the future. See, it's no different than what the disciples did. They'd already done some very big things. They walked with Jesus. They saw the things he did. They took part in all of it. They had all the things moving. They did some big things, and they didn't even understand that that was nothing compared to what they were fixing to go do. And I go, wait a minute. That's no different than for us today. Us today, we can go serve God, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what's going to play out. We just know we're going to do our little role. And God is going to work, and God is going to move. Because here's why. You don't know what the future holds for this church. You don't know what the future holds for you and your walk with God. The only thing that you can do is be willing to go through the process. So if you trust and you seek God and you put your egos aside, you trust his timing, you trust the process, you have no idea what might still lie ahead. Now, you may not change the country, but you just might have an opportunity to change the kingdom. We're going to pray. And look how early, I want you all to realize how early I'm getting you all out tonight. Okay, it is 6:57 right there. All right, you're welcome. Because ordinarily I would keep you here till 8 o'clock. All right, we're going to pray. We're going to go. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And God, I pray that we would just be willing to walk in your ways. God, I pray that we would be a group of people, not just people inside of a church transition, but God, people of your kingdom, that we would be willing to realize it's not about us. It's not about my ego. It's not about my pride. It's not about my agenda. It's not about what I want. But God, if we could seek your will, that God, if we could trust your timing in all of this, that God, that we could look at our lives and understand none of this is surprising you and you're working through all of it. God, I pray that we would be a group of people that whatever it is you're doing in any of our life, God, in any of our lives tonight, whatever it is, God, I pray that we would trust the process. That we would trust that you know exactly what you're doing. And that we would be willing to just walk in that. That we wouldn't try to insert our own plans. We wouldn't try to make things the way that we want them to go. But God, that we would live our lives and lead your church in such a way that gives you glory. In such a way that we trust that mighty things can happen for people who just follow your will. So God, I ask that this church, God, that these people would be sold out for one thing, Lord, that they'd be sold out for your will, your desire for them, and that's it. That God, you would cancel out all of the things that would get in the way. And that God, you would remove people who cannot get in line with your will. That God, if they are not willing to surrender to your will, they don't belong here. God, they might not belong in any house of yours if they can't surrender to your will. That God, that we would seek what you want. And for that, we would give you glory. And for that, we would trust. God, let us be different. Different. For you, that people would be drawn to you because we are different, because we trust you in things that they struggle with, that we allow you to lead even when we don't understand, and we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. Watch over us and keep us, and God, constantly remind us, God, all week, just keep reminding us, your will, your will, your will. And let us step in it and trust in Jesus' name. Amen.